Welcome to another Evidence podcast. Our goal is to provide valuable information from experts on how you can protect yourself. Today's topic is admitting electronically stored information into the courts. It's an honor and pleasure to be speaking with Jim Yan. Jim has been practicing civil litigation across the Northwest for over 20 years. His areas of practice include construction defect, product liability, franchising, insurance and surety law, and creditor rights. He is licensed to practice in both Oregon and Washington. Jim is an active member in the American Bar Association, both the Oregon State and Washington State Bar Associations, King County Bar Association, and the American Bankruptcy Institute. Jim, thank you for taking the time to join us today.
Thanks, Andy. It's a real privilege to discuss such an important and timely topic with you today. Digital diary will be a great service to people seeking to use electronic information as evidence in their disputes or even in a lawsuit.
Well, thank you. That means a lot coming from an expert like yourself. Can you tell us what electronically stored information is?
Well, that's a really good question. The term electronically stored information actually comes from the Federal Rules of Civil Procedure that were amended back in 2006. The term that relates to any digital information that is created and stored in electronic form. It can be on your computer, your cell phone, your PDA, copy machine, really anything that generates electronic information that can be retrieved at a later time.
Wow, sounds like there could be a lot of information out there to be stored. What are some of the difficulties in using electronic information as evidence in court?
Electronic information is different than paper. It can be manipulated and changed. That was never really typically a problem when you had paper evidence. Therefore, electronic information can be used. Before electronic information can be used, it has to have a proper foundation. It must be authenticated either through a person that obtained the data or through the person that was hosting it.
It seems that using electronic information as evidence can be very complicated. What are some of the requirements a judge needs to consider when admitting electronic information into the court?
Judges need to know that the electronic data is what it claims to be and not voodoo information. And that's actually a term that showed up in a reported case. And it comes from the fact that almost anything can appear on the internet, and it's really hard to know whether the electronic information was posted there by the author or whether it was in fact created by somebody that was intending to make it appear to be written by somebody else. Therefore, this usually requires some testimony by someone with the personal knowledge of where the data comes from and how it was created. And some courts are more strict than others about the level of authentication that will be required to prove that the electronic data is, in fact, genuine and admissible in court.
I can see how it'd be difficult for a person to authenticate their electronic information. Now, I know that you have presented at many conferences and spoken on e-discovery issues. Will you tell us a little bit more about some of the topics you have covered?
I spoke at the Superior Court Judges Association conference last spring about the admissibility of electronic evidence in court. The judges were particularly interested in differences between electronic information as opposed to paper documents, which was something they were much more familiar with. I've also presented on a number of seminars on metadata and the risks they pose to ordinary people and businesses because folks need to know how to protect themselves about data that's embedded in electronic information that is not seen, but it can be used at a later time and give out kinds of information that the author never intended. So both of those topics are ones that I've spoken extensively on.
Working with Superior Court judges is quite impressive. Are there any ways that I can store my electronic information so that it could be used as evidence in court?
If you have your own IT department at work or wherever you store your electronic information and they can maintain and provide a foundation as to how that data was stored in that database. That would be one way. But for a lot of ordinary folks that don't have those kinds of resources, they're going to need something like the Evidence Digital Diary, because that serves that purpose, which allows the foundation and the authentication of electronic data to be maintained and then used at a later date. So that would certainly be a very good solution for many folks.
Well, we are very excited to be providing this service so that these folks can store and protect their electronic information. This concludes our podcast, and thank you for listening. I'd like to thank Jim Yan. It was a pleasure speaking with you.
Thank you, and I enjoyed an opportunity to talk with you.
How can people learn more about you and your legal area of expertise?
They can find me on the internet at our firm's website, www.staffordfrey.com. That's TAFFORDFREY.com. Or my email address is simply the letter J, Yand, Yand, at staffordfrey.com.
Again, if you have more questions about electronically stored information or are interested in retaining Jim Yand as your attorney, please contact www.staffordfrey.com. Remember what Jim said. It is important to authenticate your electronic information so that it can be used as evidence. The Evidence Digital Diary gives you a great way to certify and authenticate any files that you store. With the Evidence Digital Diary, you now have court-presentable facts, chronological documentation, you have to be organized, and credibility of evidence. Now that's key. Don't wait. Sign up for the Evidence Digital Diary today at www.evidence.com. This is Andy Williams with Evidence Corporation, reminding you that facts count. Don't forget, collect everything, and start protecting yourself today.